Welcome to The Apple Seed, the storytelling podcast from BYU Radio, where your family can gather for great stories from great storytellers in every episode. Stories bring us together, and we hope the stories on the show will spark memories and thoughts that you can share with the people you love. I'm your host, Sam Payne. Did you ever come across what at first might seem like just good advice, but then comes to sort of stick with you as a code you continue to live by, a compass to guide how you do your daily walk? You know, it's easy to live by a code when the going is easy. But when things get difficult, a code can really come in handy. When your mind and your heart are caught up in the heat of a moment, when every rash option seems like the right one, when every direction seems like true north, that's when a compass comes in handy. And in this story, Possum has something of a compass like that, a phrase taught to him by his mother. The phrase is, when you see trouble and you know it's trouble, just leave trouble alone. That's a pretty good code to live by, right? Will Possum remember that good counsel when he's in a tight spot? Well, that's the story. It's told for you by the Ohio storyteller Lynn Ford, and we think you're going to love it. Here's Lynn with Possum and Snake on the Appleseed.
My daddy was one of my favorite storytellers, and this was one of my favorite stories from him. It's about the American marsupial, the one known as Possum. Some say opossum. When I saw one when I was little, I said, oh, possum. But that's not what that really meant. Now, Possum was walking down a road next to a river in a place where he'd lived all his life. And as he walked along, he started to sing a little song because he figured he knew where he was going. And maybe you can sing after Possum. He sang, la, la.
La, la.
Good. La, la, la.
La, la, la.
La, 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 li.
La, 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 li.
La, la, li, la, la, li.
La, la, li, la, la, li.
La, la, li, la, la, lo, lu, la, da, 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 da. Ziz, ez, zez, zo, zo, za, za, wa, da, wa. We up, papa. Why ain't you singing? Well, I guess you can tell Possum wasn't watching where his feet were going. And when he got to the bend in the road, he tripped over something. Boom, boom, boom. He looked down to see what had tripped him up. And there on the ground was a big old rock. And underneath that rock was something Possum had not expected. He didn't know how it got there. But underneath that rock was a little bitty snake. Now, Possum's mama and daddy had tried to teach him a lot about living in that part of the country. And one thing they had told him was, Possum, snakes can be trouble. Because you never know when a snake might bite. And if a snake has teeth, a snake will bite. Now, that's not badness coming from a snake, but it's not goodness either. It's just what a snake will do. But if you're foolish enough to fool around with a snake, that could be trouble for you. So you remember what your mom and your daddy are trying to teach you right now. If you see trouble and you know it's trouble, just leave trouble alone. Let me hear you say that. If you see trouble and you know it's trouble, just leave trouble alone. That's right. Well, Possum looked down at that snake. He said, trouble. And he got ready to walk away, but the snake said, excuse me. Mr. Possum, would you come back here and help me out just a little bit? Would you take this big old rock off my back? Please. What did Possum's mom and daddy try to teach him? If you see trouble and you know it's trouble, just leave trouble alone. That's right, but that snake was smiling at him. Possum said, aw, ain't he cute? Ain't he cute? Just a little bit of snake couldn't be more than a little bit of trouble. So he picked up that rock and took it off the snake's back. Still, he got ready to walk away. But the snake said, excuse me? Mr. Possum, could you come back here and help me out just a little bit more? You see, this road is so rough and my stomach's getting so sore and my body is feeling so cold. And you've got such a nice, warm-looking pocket. Could you just pick me up and warm me up in your pocket? Oh, please. Well, you know what Possum's mom and daddy had tried to teach him, but that snake was smiling and being so polite, the possum reached down, picked up that snake, and put it in his pocket. Now, that snake curled up in Possum's pocket, and Possum stood there waiting for a snake to warm up and go away. Snakes and warming up. If you don't know about that, look it up in science books. After a while, that snake rose from Possum's pocket. But it didn't go away. No, no, no. It looked Possum dead in the eye. It said, Mr. Possum, I want to thank you for everything you've just done for me. I think I'll reward you right now. I think I'll just bite you. That snake started giggling, but Possum didn't see anything funny in this situation. He said, whoa, 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 whoa. Now, wait just a minute, Mr. Snake. I took that big old rock off your back. I let you warm up in my pocket. And you were smiling and being so polite, Mr. Snake. Why are you gonna bite me? That snake said, didn't your mom and daddy ever teach you anything? A snake is always a snake. Trouble is always trouble, even when it's smiling at you. So, say goodbye. Possum didn't want to say goodbye, but he didn't know what to do. He put trouble in his own pocket, and he couldn't figure out how to get away from it. He couldn't grab that snake without getting bitten. He couldn't rip off that pocket. It was attached. He couldn't think of what to do until he remembered his friend Rabbit, that tricky rabbit, lived just down the road. And Possum thought if he could get to his friend Rabbit, maybe Rabbit could help him out of this sticky situation he'd gotten himself into. So he put on his pitiful because he thought that might help him live a bit longer. Mr. Snake, I really don't want to say goodbye to anybody. But if I had to say goodbye to somebody, could I just go down the road and say goodbye to my best friend in the whole wide world? Could I just go down the road? Say goodbye to Rabbit, please. Well, that snake started grinning even more because he figured he could bite Possum and bite that rabbit too later. So that snake nodded, curled back up in Possum's pocket, and the snake went to sleep. And Possum started tippy-toeing down the road as quietly as he could, because he figured if he let that snake sleep, he would live a little bit longer. Ooh, he was tippy-toeing, tippy-toeing, tippy-toeing. Rabbit was sitting on his front porch, rocking in his rocking chair, when he saw Possum walking toward him in a most unusual fashion. Rabbit yelled, Possum! Why are you walking like that? Possum said, shh, man. Coming to see you. Walking like that? Why are you walking like that? Possum said, well, I was coming to say goodbye. Say goodbye, said Rabbit. Why? Where do you think you're going? Walking like that? Possum said, oh, I think I'm going to die. Rabbit said, be quiet, man. Don't have a fit What are you trying to tell me? He put his arms around his friend. He said, Possum, I didn't mean to make you cry. I wasn't trying to hurt your feelings. I thought you were just walking kind of silly for some reason. Tell me, what is wrong with you? Possum said, snake in my pocket. Rabbit said, what? Snake in my pocket. Rabbit said, I don't think I heard you correctly. What did you just say? Possum said, I said, there's a snake in my pocket. And the snake rose up and grinned at Rabbit. Rabbit said, man, there's a snake in your pocket. Possum said, you got a snake in your pocket. Possum said, I know. How did you get a snake in your pocket? Well, Possum told his story. The rock at the bend in the road. The snake beneath the rock. How he'd picked up trouble off the road himself and put it in his pocket. Couldn't figure out how to get it out of there. But the whole time he was telling the story, he kept winking at Rabbit as if to give a signal for help. Rabbit said, No. I don't believe this. I cannot see how a friend of mine would be so simple-minded as to put a snake in his pocket. But if you take me back to where the story happened, and Rabbit winked at Possum one time, and you show me how it happened, and Rabbit winked again, maybe I'll understand the story a little bit better. Now, is that all right with you, Mr. Snake? Snake didn't care because he figured on biting them both. So the snake nodded, curled up in that pocket, and the snake went back to sleep. How did the snake sound sleeping? Just like that. And Possum and Rabbit made their way back up the road. Now there at the bend in the road sat that big old rock, and Rabbit called out, Possum, show me where you were standing when you performed this small act of stupidity. Possum said, okay. I was standing right here. And then I took the roll out of the snake's bag. I paid him and I put him in my pocket. Be quiet. Mr. Snake, would you come out that pocket and show me where you were? Well, the snake slid out of Possum's pocket. Snake slithered down to the road. Snake stretched himself out. Snake said, I was sitting right here. Rabbit picked up that big old rock, put it on that snake's back, boom, said, and there you are again. And there you're gonna stay too, because that's where you should have stayed. You see, my friend Possum does not know a thing about snakes. But he took Possum's hand, started walking him down the road to his house. And the whole time that they were walking together, Rabbit kept repeating the same thing Possum's mama and daddy had already tried to teach him. If you remember it, say it with me. If you see trouble and you know it's trouble, just leave trouble alone. Thanks for being smarter than Possum.
Possum and Snake from Lynn Ford. You know, when I hear that story, I remember some of the advice I've been given over the years. It's become kind of a code to live by, a compass to help me see straight, especially when things get foggy. When I was a little kid, all my mom wanted was for us siblings to be nice to each other and to do what our parents asked us to do without whining. The phrase she used and wanted us to remember was, mind and be kind. Mind what your folks ask you to do and be kind to your brothers and sisters. And to help us remember those two big ideas, she made a family flag on a big blue piece of fabric. The flag had two important images on it, cut out of a piece of felt. One of those images was a big red heart on it that was supposed to remind us of the be kind part of mind and be kind. And the other image was an image of Jesus, and that was supposed to help us remember the mind part of the phrase. Mom thought that it was more important to do what God wanted us to do without whining than to do even what Mom wanted us to do without whining. Mind and be kind was a pretty serviceable code, a pretty good compass for a 7-year-old to have inside him. And since then, I've watched to see what codes other people live by. And I still do that as a grown-up. I met an old guy once who talked about the code his son lived by. That code, which the dad had memorized, was build the kingdom by building the man. Well, by coincidence, I had a chance to talk to the son about that code he lives by. And in that conversation, he said, you know, my dad lives by a code too. And the son had the dad's code memorized. Get this. It was seek, accept, and apply all the truth that's found, whether on heathen or on holy ground. Kind of interesting, yeah? And also kind of old-timey. You know, there are things I like about both of those codes. What I really like is that the son knows the father's, and the father knows the son's. I wonder sometimes if the people I love know clearly what the values and promises and ideas are that serve as the codes by which I live, the compasses that help me chart my course, especially when it gets foggy. Something for me to think about, and maybe for you to think about, too. Well, that's where Lynn's story took me. Where did it take you? And who will you take along? Now, up next, we've got a folk tale from Kenya about a fisherman named Nyangondo. Now, one day, he finds a strange woman trapped in his fishing nets, and she promises to bless his life forever. But first, the fisherman has to make a promise or two and live by those promises. Will he remember to do that as the years bring changes to the fisherman's life? Kenyan Scottish storyteller Mara Menzies brings us the story. It's called Nyangondo.
So, this next story is a story from the west coast of Kenya. So, there is a wonderful lake, a huge lake, Lake Victoria. I'm sure you've heard of it. And Lake Victoria has so many stories. And this particular story is a story of a young man whose name was Nyangondo. And Nyangondo came from a great line of fishermen. His father was an astonishing, successful fisherman. So was his grandfather and his great-grandfather. His brothers would fill their boats with fish, and his cousins and his uncles, because of course it was the job of the men. But Nyangondo was possibly the worst fisherman that ever lived. He would go out onto the lake rowing, determined to catch just one fish. And in the evening, he would return downcast, sorrow-filled, because he might have caught a reed or a piece of dead wood or an old bit of clothing or net. He was terrible at fishing. And the thing that he hated more than anything else was the response that he would get once he arrived at the shore. Oh, Nyangondo, tell us, what did you catch today? And of course, he had nothing to show. And his brothers and his relatives and his friends would howl with laughter. Ha! Nyangondo, you've done it again. Well done. Let's see what you catch tomorrow. Oh, it was terrible. And he tried to laugh it off and, oh, they're just having a bit of fun. But it really, really pained him. And for years, this went on. Every day, he would sit on his boat, sealing all the holes. He would sew up his nets, fixing them. He would make sure that everything was in order. He would pray. He would go out into the lake. Please, please, today, today, this must be the day I catch a fish. And he would cast out his nets and nothing. Nothing at all. Imagine that, year after year of failure. Until one day, he thought to himself, this is awful. This is terrible. I can't keep going on like this. I can't afford to build a house. If I don't have a house, how am I going to get a wife? How am I going to have a family? I am a complete disaster. Maybe I'm not supposed to be a fisherman. Maybe my calling is somewhere else. And so he determined that the following day, if he did not catch anything at all, he would stop fishing entirely, he would leave the village and his family behind, and he would go off and find something else to do. But before he did that, the previous evening he was on his knees and he prayed and he said, please, I love fishing, I love the lake, I'm begging you, a blessing. I just need a blessing. I'm asking for a little bit of help. And if you can't help me tomorrow, then that's it. I'm done. And the following morning, the prayer was the same. And then he jumped into his boat and he rowed and rowed and rowed out to the middle of the lake. And as he sat there, he tried to well up the strength and power of his ancestors and all the fishing blessings that he could imagine deep in himself. He took his nets and he flung them in and he reeled, they pulled his nets. Nothing at all. I'll give it two more goes, he said. He rowed to a different part of the lake and again, whoosh, whoosh, he flung in his net. He pulled. Nothing. But on the third casting of his net, he pulled and pulled and he realized that there was something in his net. And it wasn't something small. It was something quite substantial. At first, he thought that maybe he had reached the bottom of the lake and it had caught on a stone or something. But no, the lake was much too deep. And the net was moving closer and closer and suddenly, he pulled the net in and this great, slithery, slimy creature was in the net. And he was horrified. He recoiled. He leapt to the other side, the back of the boat, in disgust. And he watched this creature trying to remove the net from its body. And suddenly it sat there. And he saw it was a woman, an old woman. Now, you've all been in the bath for too long and you know how your fingers wrinkle. Well, just imagine that you have been immersed in water for a few hundred years. That is what the skin of this old lady looked like. And her hair was patchy and gray. She had no teeth in her mouth whatsoever. Her eyes were bulging and red and a jellyish kind of color, gray in the middle. And she was staring right at Nyamgondo. And Nyamgondo, he didn't know what to think or how to feel. He just had this awful expression on his face. And, oh, what is this thing? And suddenly she spoke.
Nyamgondo.
How do you know my name?
Nyamgondo. You have brought me here. I am your blessing.
Now, Nyamgondo really did not know how to feel about this because this was definitely not the blessing that he was hoping for. And he said, What do you mean you're my blessing? I wanted fish, not a strange woman who knows my name.
Nyamgondo, I have been sent here for you. Now, if you are to marry me, your life will change forever.
Now, Nyamgondo was looking at this lady and he thought, I really do not want to marry this woman. But when he looked at her, when he really looked at her, he stared into her eyes and there was a depth, there was a kindness, there was a softness, but there was also some steel and fire. And he thought, I did ask for a blessing. And if this is the blessing that I have been given, then let me accept it. And so he agreed to marry the old lady.
Ah, good choice, Nyamgondo. Now, there are some conditions. I will marry you. However, you are not allowed to insult me. You are not allowed to threaten me. And you must never criticize my origins.
Now, Nyamgondo, he was a good man. A fair man, and he thought to himself, why would I ever want to do any of those things? And so he promised the woman that he would never do any of them and that he would marry her the following day. And so they rowed back to the shore and he wrapped her in the net because otherwise she would have slipped out of his hands and he carried her onto the shore. He exhaled deeply because there in front of him were his friends and relatives all howling and shrieking, what have you got there, Nyamgondo? And he showed them the old woman and he said, tomorrow I'm going to marry her. Nyamgondo, you've really outdone yourself this time. However, he knew what he was doing and he carried the old lady to his house. He laid her on the bed and left her to sleep and went about with the preparations for the wedding. Now, of course, the following morning, everybody had gathered, all of them curious and eager to see who was this strange woman that Nyamgondo had suddenly brought into his life. They were all curious and they came from all the neighboring villages. And Nyamgondo stood there, and he had bought some cows, and they were slaughtered, and the feast was held, the marriage was pronounced, and then Nyamgondo took his wife home. And the following morning, he turned over, and there, lying next to him, there was no old woman at all. There was a beautiful lady. Her skin was shiny. Her hair was beautifully braided with shells and beads. She was magnificent. And she said to Nyamgondo, "Nyamgondo, I am your wife, but I needed you to accept me in different forms because I am more than just one thing. I will always be your blessing." And so life continued. Nyamgondo would go down to the lake, and on the first day he went, his wife said, "Let me come with you." And she walked down to the lake and she said, "Nyamgondo, just wait for one moment." And so he stood by the lake and she raised her arms up to the sky and she started to sing. Ngombe, ngombe, mbuzi, mbuzi, mahindi, mahindi, njonami, njonami. Ngombe, ngombe, mbuzi, mbuzi, mahindi, mahindi, njonami, njonami. And the waters parted, and out from the middle of the lake there came cows. The ngombe. There came goats, the mbuzi. And the mahindi was the maize that wriggled on its roots, headed all the way to Nyamgondo's field, and plop, 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 planted themselves in. And when Nyamgondo went out into the lake, it was as though the fish were jumping into his boat. He was only there for half the day, and he had to return because otherwise the boat would be too heavy. It was so full of fish. And Nyamgondo's fortune began to change. And he would go home to his wife and say, "Really, you are my blessing." The time began to pass, and they went on to have three daughters. And they were just as smart and beautiful as their mother. And Nyamgondo felt like he was the luckiest man in the entire world. But of course, as he began to get richer and acquire more wealth, he began to think of other business opportunities that he could find himself engaging in. And he began to change his circle of friends. He sought out more powerful people who would come to him and say, "Nyamgondo, I've got something that I think you might be interested in. Shall we have a meeting?" "Yes, of course." And so, after he had finished fishing in the lake, instead of going home to his wife and his children, he would go off and have these extravagant parties with this very loud, rich, powerful men. And he enjoyed the attention that he was getting. But when he went home, his wife would say to him, "Nyamgondo, you said that you would be home a little bit earlier than this." And, "Oh, yes, yes, I'm sorry. I'll be back tomorrow. I'll be back tomorrow. Don't worry." But the following day, he was not back at home at the time he said he would. And his wife tried to speak with him and tried to reason with him and said, "Nyamgondo, you're staying out later and later. Your daughters miss you. I miss you. Remember, we are supposed to build this life together." And he would say to her, "Yes, yes, you will always be my blessing, my beautiful little wife." But the following day, he would still be out engaging with all of his new friends. And one day, he came home and it was so late. And he was so tired. And he walked into the house and his wife was busy tidying up and putting everything to bed after his daughters had fallen asleep. And when he saw her and when she saw him, she said nothing. She was so sorrow-filled and so heartbroken. And he said, "Why are you looking at me like that?" And she replied and said, "Well, Nyamgondo, the promises you made to me, well, they seem to have been forgotten." "How dare you speak to me like that? You're always nagging and complaining. You think that you have done everything in this household. Now, if you ever speak to me like that again, there's going to be trouble in this house. Don't forget where you came from. I dragged you out of the lake." And with that, he collapsed on the ground and he fell fast asleep, snoring away. When he woke up the following morning, ooh, the ground was very cold and hard, and he realized that he was still on the floor. Now, normally his wife would have picked him up and placed him in his bed, but no. And so he got up and very stiff and uncomfortable, and he realized the house was very quiet and the house was cold. And when he went and poked his head outside the door, he heard there was commotion down by the side of the lake, and he peered into the distance and he heard a song. Ngombe, ngombe, mbuzi, mbuzi, mahindi, mahindi, njonami, njonami. And as he watched, he saw his wife leading the herds of cattle and all the goats leaping alongside. And even the stalks of maize had pulled themselves out of the field and were slowly making their way back to the lake, followed in by his wife and his daughters. And he watched in horror, racing after them. No, no. But they went in deeper and deeper, and the waters closed over them. And when he reached the shore, he waded into the water and he called out, "Please, please, I'm sorry. I've learned my lesson. I promise this will never, ever, ever happen again. Come back. You're my blessing. You know how much you mean to me." But she never came back. And every day Nyamgondo would wade out into the water and he would look out earnestly, desperately in search of his blessing. She never came back. And the more times he went down to the lake, he stayed in longer and longer and longer. And after a month had gone by, his friend said, "Look, Nyamgondo, she's gone. She's not coming back. Come back to the village. You'll find a new wife. You'll start again. Everything will be fine." But he couldn't shake her out of his thoughts. And he still went back to the lake until one day he did not leave. He stood standing in the water for so long that his legs began to harden. And that hardening carried up into his chest and his back. He started to bend over and he reached out his arms calling for his blessing. "Come back to me. Where are you? Come back to me." And all of the hardness stretched out into his wrists, his hands, his fingers, and Nyamgondo turned into a tree. And this tree, if you ever visit Lake Victoria, you will find an old, gnarled, crooked tree, and it's reaching its branches out into the lake as though it is still seeking its blessing. Thank you.
That was Mara Menzies with Nyamgondo. Are there standards or values or ideas that have become a code you live by? Have you ever been in a situation where you've been tempted to make an exception to a course charted by your internal compass or by a promise you've made? How'd you get through a challenge like that? What did you decide to do? I bet you've got some stories. We hope you'll share them with the people you love. In fact, we hope you'll share the stories with us. We might share them on the show. You can tag us on social media or send us a message at theappleseed@byu.edu. That's theappleseed, all one word, at byu.edu. We got this message from a Spotify listener with a username NotNoise. Well, NotNoise wrote, "Excellent stories. I'm from Mexico, living in the USA. Your stories help me to learn English, but also how to construct my own stories in another language and encourage me to tell stories to my almost 2-year-old grandson. Thanks for all." Man, thanks to listener NotNoise for taking the time to reach out. What a great way to make stories useful. We were so glad to hear that. We're thrilled our stories are so helpful in that way to you and your family. We want to thank Lynn Ford and Mara Menzies for sharing their stories with us today. You've listened to their stories. Now it's time to share some of your own. If you want more, try the BYU Radio podcast, Constant Wonder. It explores the awe and wonder in all nature, human or wild. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts.